Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send a special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They have a broadcast that comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's called Turn On the Light Broadcast. Turn On the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, and comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. Their lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. And their youth pastor is Pastor Zachary Osler. They have services on Sunday mornings, traditional worship services, starts at 8 a.m. Sunday school starts at 9:45 a.m. Children's church starts at 10:45 a.m. And praise and worship services starts at 10:45 a.m. They also have Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. And we want to keep in mind of those who are mourning in the city of Milwaukee. There was a shooting and multiple people were killed during that event. And actually, I stayed not far from where it happened. So we want to think about them and their families during this time of mourning. Amen. Before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song.
Oh, victory belongs to Jesus. matter what I used to be. Say this. They might have said that it was cancer. It doesn't matter. Guess who the victory belongs to? Victory belongs.
Victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him.
Really soft demand, really soft.
Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him.
Crystals.
Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him.
Jesus, thank you.
The victory belongs to him.
Kiki.
Victory belongs. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Oh, the victory belongs to him.
Ill.
The victory belongs to
Hallelujah. Then that song just comforts you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever your situation is, whatever your issue, just knowing that victory belongs to you. Hallelujah. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because he said, in this world, we shall have tribulations. It comes with being in this world, but be of good cheer. Glory to God. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So that's our hope. That's our confidence. That's where we get our trust from. Knowing that in him, we have the victory in whatever situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your obedience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome once again for calling in, and we're going to dive into this word, amen? We're going to be coming out of the book of St. Mark, St. Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 36. St. Mark 14 and verse 36. And I'm going to read it in four different translations, okay? I'm going to start with the King James Version. St. Mark 14, chapter, verse 36. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Then we're going to read it from the Amplified Bible. And it reads, and he was saying, Abba, which means Father, everything is possible for you. Take away this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Now from the New Living Translation. And it reads, Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. This is the last translation, the Message. And it reads, Papa, Father, you can't you? Get me out of this. Take this cup away from me. But please, not what I want. What do you want? Not what I want. What do you want? Glory to God. The title of the message for tonight is Abba, Father Knows Best. Abba, Father Knows Best. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come again to hear what you have to say, to equip us to challenge us, to charge us, to even change us, Father, to prepare us for the mission that you have for us in this world, God. And Father, we come as yielded vessels, God, ready, willing, and obedient to what you would say tonight. Use us for your glory, God. Use us for your glory, God. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory that you deserve. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Abba Father knows best. You know, that's this show that used to come on back in the 50s and 60s called Father Knows Best. And it was a family of a father, a wife, and they had three children. Well, every week during the show, one of the children will have an issue, will have a challenge, something that they were facing. And of course, the father will step in and give his advice and encourage them. And the most important thing was, number one, they didn't quit. They didn't give up. And number two, they trusted in the advice that their father gave them. Number three, it was a victory, a reward at the end of it. That could have been confidence, peace, thanksgiving. But it was always a lesson being taught. And so, this scripture that we read in Mark is Jesus praying to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, because this was the time where he was about to go through the torture, the suffering, the shame, the humility, the rejection, the ridicule. The main reason why he came to this earth, to suffer and die for our sin. So yes, he was God in the flesh, because the Bible says that his name was Emmanuel, meaning God with us. But he was also a human being. He was a natural man in the flesh. So he felt pain. He knew what hurt was. So at this moment, being in that natural flesh that he was in, he thought about it, and he cried out to God, Abba, Father, please take this away from me. But then he was strengthened, and he was reminded of his purpose, of his mission, of his reason for coming. Because it said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Glory to God. So he said, not my will, Father, but your will be done. So I'll do this. I'll go through this. I'll be the example. I'll be the sacrifice. I'll be the offering. I'll stand in the gap. For you to get your glory. For your will to be done. And one word that sticks out is the word Abba, A-B-B-A, because this message is in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but only in Mark where you see the word Abba in this particular passage. So let's talk about that word. What is Abba or Abba? And I'm going to be reading this from the Holman Bible Dictionary. And it says, Abba, Aramaic word for father, used by Jesus to speak of his own intimate relationship with God. A relationship that others can enter through faith. The Old Testament says, although Abba does not occur in the Old Testament, its Hebrew associate, Ab, occurs frequently. And Ab usually refers to a human father. On occasion, the Old Testament speaks of God in the role of father to Israel. In the New Testament, the idea of God's intimate relationship to humanity is a distinct feature of Jesus' teaching. I want to read that again. The idea of God's intimate relationship to humanity is a distinct feature of Jesus' teaching. So everything that he taught, Jesus, when he was on this earth, it says one of the main things he wanted to get across was us having this relationship, this intimate personal relationship with God. And it says, God relates to believers as a father relates to his child. Some would translate Abba as daddy to convey the close personal meaning of the word. Even when father in the New Testament translates the more formal Greek word pater, the idea of Abba is certainly in the background. Jesus addressed God as Abba in prayer. That's what we're talking about in this particular scripture. And taught his disciples to pray in the same terms. Jesus' claim of intimate relationship with God offended many of his opponents because they considered Abba to be overly familiar in addressing God. See, this is something that they weren't used to. Let's go to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. St. Luke 11, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, talking about Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Verse 2 says, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. So, he started off by telling him, whenever you pray, you must first say, our Father. And see, this was new to them. See, Jesus introduced Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, El Shaddai, Adonai, the great I Am, the Ancient of Days, Alpha and Omega, the true and the living God, the one true God, the Holy One of Israel, the Most High God. See, these were the names that they were used to hearing. But Jesus introduced him as Father. Our Father. Abba, Father. He came to explain to us that we must have an intimate relationship with God, and the only way to do so was by accepting his love through his offering, sacrifice, chastisement, suffering, his death, burial, and resurrection. That was the expression of God's love for us. So all of this was new to them, hearing someone talk about this God, this judge, and at times this angry, wrathful supreme being as Father. Let's go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53. And we're going to start at verse 1. It says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. See, this is talking about Jesus after he had been whipped and beaten, tortured, said that his physical appearance was changed to the point where people couldn't even look upon him. He was beat so bad. It changed his appearance. Verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Says verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was cut off out of the land of the living. In other words, he died. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. See, this is where you hear he went to hell for us. He took our place. Where it says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, he was innocent. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. A perfect man. Sinless. Verse 10 says, though, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So this is what Jesus was going through. This pressure of knowing what he had to go through. See, it's not like he didn't know what he had to go through. He knew everything was strategically planned. He knew exactly what he had to go through. So that's why he went to God crying, Abba, Father, please take this cup of suffering from me. If there's any other way, God. The human part of him crying out. But then his spirit was energized, because it says that God sent an angel to minister to him, to comfort him, to remind him of who he was, of why he was there, of his purpose. And then he was going to be seated on the right hand of God in heaven. Hallelujah. But then also to see all of those that will follow him. That's where his joy came from. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. So let me continue reading in this Bible dictionary about Abba. Says Jesus' claim of intimate relationship with God offended many of his opponents because they considered Abba to be overly familiar in addressing God. But Jesus' usage established the pattern for the church's view of God. Hallelujah. I just heard. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you see God differently. When you have an encounter with Jesus, his son, you see God differently as Abba Father. Glory to God. Said Paul used Abba to describe God's adoption of believers as his children. And the change in the believer's status with God that results. Let's go to Hebrews 12 chapter. Hebrews 12. We're going to start at verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him. Sinners judging Jesus. That's like an oxymoron. Lest ye be weary and faint in your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be put down. You're going to be called names. People are going to turn their backs on you. But verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Wow. Says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. See, because we are our children of God, chastisement comes. But chastisement is for correction, instruction, discipline. Learning a lesson that I was speaking about at the beginning of the show, Father Knows Best. We have to go through things. And verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Anybody remember those whoopings you used to get? I do. Verse 10 says, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And verse 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Of course, it doesn't feel good. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It teaches us not to do it again. It teaches us to be a better person. And we end up loving more, because we become more appreciative. That's the result of chastisement. And let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter. Galatians 4, starting at verse 1. Says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 6 says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Glory to God. Verse 7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And see, that's key. He sees us just like he sees Jesus, because we've accepted Jesus into our lives as our Lord and Savior. So whatever he is heir to, we're joint heirs. We have access. Let's go to Hebrews 13 chapter, verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, that's where the access comes from. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. So I will not fear what man shall do to me. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua 1. And see, Joshua was a student of Moses. Everywhere Moses went, he had Joshua. So he was being prepared. He was being trained to be the next leader. And so Moses ended up dying. And Joshua was in a place where, I'm thinking if I said Joseph, but I meant Joshua if I did. Joshua was in a place where he was thinking about this new position that he's in. Lord, if it be thy will, if there's anything you can do, take this cup from me. Because he's been with the people. He saw what Moses went through. He knew that they would be one way one day, and the next day they'd be ready to stone. One day, they're glad that they've been delivered from Egypt. The next day, they want to go back. Murmuring, complaining. So Joshua was in this place. And of course, he was mourning. He was hurt, sad that Moses was gone. So verse 1, Joshua says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' ministering, saying, read that again. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is God telling Joshua this. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. I've chosen you to be the leader. I've called you out and placed you in a position. Now, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. And this is key, these next words that he says, as I said unto Moses. So he was comforting him. He was encouraging him. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 4 says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Shall man do unto me. Says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. So this is God encouraging Joshua to go ahead and do what I called you to do. Carry out your mission. I have a purpose and a plan. My will is going to be done. I'm going to get my glory. Just be obedient. Do exactly what I say. Let's go to Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8. Verse 14. 8 and 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. A lot of people like to say good things come to those who wait. Well, glorious things come to the children of God who waits. Glorious things come to the children of God who waits. Let's go to Revelation 3rd chapter. We're going to close this out. Revelation 3, verse 19. And it reads, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To them that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. This is Jesus speaking. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Abba, Father, knows best. We have the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for encouragement. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, bless you. Love you. See you next week.